Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis refuse. You're like a long cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.
It's Mark Ross, and I'd like to welcome you to another show or another night of the Men's Spiritual Hour. As you know, we're on once a month where we bring on a spiritual guest to talk about his journey, and we're really excited for the lineup that we have, not only for this evening, but for the rest of this year. We have a number of guests from around the world that we're having on, and we're really excited about that. So to find out more about that and the other shows that we have on Spiritual Connections Radio, make sure to check out our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. There's a lot of links and information that's up there for the different guests that we have. Lots of times we'll have people announce their websites and stuff like that. You might not catch it. So make sure to go to the website and take a look at that. We're also really happy to announce that we've kind of joined up with a doctor out of Florida that's making a recommendation on a lot of self-help books. And right at the top of our website, we have a link for you to get over there. So if you're looking for some type of spiritual book, or if you're looking for some book that'll help you in some area of self-help or medicine or anything like that, make sure to check out our site to get that link. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and pull Mike in. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Mark.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's always great to have you on, Mike. And I heard you and Brigitte had a really good time in New York City. You were at the Edgar Cayce Center?
Yes, that's correct. We were at the Edgar Cayce Center of New York City, and we got to do a what she calls her life channeling class, and we also did a music meditation at the end of the night. And I got to play wonderful music, meet a lot of great people, and just had a great time.
Oh, that's excellent. Why don't you go ahead and bring our guest in?
Okay. Well, tonight, everybody, we have Jim Oliver. Jim is a multi-keyboardist. He's an Emmy Award-winning musician, dynamic performer, and composer of more than 3,500 hours of transformational healing music. Jim's beautiful and soulful music has been found to encourage healings in body, mind, spirit, and emotions for people all over the world. Jim, there's just so much to say about you, and I'm going to let you tell the rest. So welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Jim. It's great to have you on.
Well, you know, my spiritual journey, as it were, being a musician and starting piano very, very young. I was 5 when I started piano. And, you know, music is such a sensitive expression. You know, I studied classical and, you know, played through elementary school and junior high and high school and majored in classical organ in college. And then I went off and did Vegas and Tahoe and, you know, just observed how music is used mostly for entertainment. You know, it's accompaniment, even in a church setting, it's accompaniment for hymns. It's something you play when people come in or go out or for various parts of the service or mass. And I always wanted to do something where music was the main event, where the music was really the focus on a deep level. So that helped me quite a bit as far as, you know, my own spiritual path. And, you know, I wouldn't consider myself a, you know, someone who is, you know, like the full-time spiritual seeker. It's something that is a huge part of my life, and my commitment to awakening is the first and foremost thing. I think, you know, when you really make that commitment to awakening, to understanding yourself, your soul essence, you know, who you are, what your mission, your path in life is, that's extremely empowering. And it's wonderful to be able to speak with a men's group. I just finished playing last week at a six-day seminar with Kenji Kamara in Tubac, Arizona. And as is often the case with spiritual groups, it's mostly women, and this was no exception. You know, I've seen it range from 50-50 up to, 90% women, 10% men. And it's wonderful that you guys have put together this program for men. Although the goal is the same, we approach things differently, and it's good to have support. So more and more men's groups, I really encourage that, to have men's groups where you can get together and talk about you know, what it's like trying to maintain a spiritual practice and a spiritual lifestyle, and have to interface in the quote-unquote man's world. You know, if you're, you know, I do some audio-video projects and recording studios, and you're out on construction sites, and that's a whole different place than satsang. You know, guys yeah. out, you know, then they're yeah. and they're wonderful, beautiful people, and you know, I maintain who I am. I don't try to change who I am so that I can, you know, seemingly interface better with, you know, the guys on the job site. And it's wonderful to see how when I share with them that I do transformational healing music and I'm very involved with, you know, spirituality and devotional awakening, raising of consciousness, offering a path for people to resonate with and find their own unique way to self-rediscover that soul essence, your true self. I mean, really, your true self, that is the most empowering state. I was doing sweat lodges 30 years ago when moved to the Southwest, and Beautiful Painted Arrow, the Native American who was doing the sweat lodges, you know, made the statement that there is nothing more powerful than a man who has found his place in life. And that frees up so much energy when you really feel comfortable and aligned with what you do during the day, who you are, human beings rather than human doings. And it frees you up from so much of the would've, should've, could've kind of distractions and diversions and the entanglements that come along with that. And you're always trying to second guess yourself. But when you get to the place of knowing really what your path is, and we're all works in progress, you know. I mean, I've been at this quite a while. I'm 61 years old, and I full well realize and understand that I'm a work in progress. Nobody rides for free. Everybody has something to work with, some sort of challenge. And when, you know, we come at that with a place of understanding, compassion for ourselves and the other people in the situation, you know, that old saying, you know, you really don't know, you know, walking in the other person's shoes. You know, it's easy to make a determination that, well, this person should be able to do this better or whatever it is, but I've always found that there's something else underlying, that there's some kind of a situation going on that, you know, we're all doing the best that we can. So having compassion for ourselves and compassion for other people really helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I noticed as part of your work that you actually did music at the United Nations Church Center. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That was one of those, wonderful opportunities. There's a fellow by the name of Bratzo who is from Croatia, and he does gazing healing sessions. I mean, he doesn't refer to himself as a healer. He doesn't, you know, speak and address the group. He just comes out and goes into this beautiful, really universal, loving space and just radiates that love as he gazes out amongst the people in the group. And as a result of that, many people have healing experiences. So he was invited to do a gazing at the United Nations Church Center, and I had done some music at a couple of his events a few years ago, and they called me up and asked if I would be able to come out and provide music for the event at the UN Church Center. And then afterwards, we got to go into the UN, and they have a wonderful meditation room down in one of the areas there that we were invited to go into and do a meditation with the idea of world peace. So that was that. It was just one of those things. The phone rang. You go, hi. And then you go, hey, Jim, you want to go play at the UN? Like, sure. So.
Wow, that's amazing. I actually had a chance to see, I call him, what is his name? Is it Bratzo? I call him Bratzo.
It's actually pronounced Bratzo, like it's B-R-A-T-S-O,
Bratzo. Yeah.
But that's him.
Yeah, I saw Bratzo at the Mind, Body, Spirit Expo in Edison, New Jersey, I think about 2 years ago, and
beautiful.
The transformation that occurred, it was funny at the time, actually it was probably longer than that, I came out of it and, you know, everybody was talking about, well, did you have some type of transformation or something like that, and I said, well, I don't really think of anything, and then a friend pulled me aside and said, well, didn't you see him on Sunday and you asked for a divorce on Thursday? So...
No transformation
catalyst there.
Okay. Well, I'm still married. You know, the sharing,
Jim,
yes.
Jim, I really agree with you. I loved what you said in the opening there about, you know, the men's show and us trying to, sometimes put aside ego and get into our deeper spiritual selves. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, Mark and I really enjoyed conveying that message through the show and learning from all sorts of different spiritual men that come across. And,
mm-hmm.
It's a struggle as a man that we can come across, because right away, you know, being the male and the provider and protector, we want to come across and from ego a lot, which part of our DNA makeup we have to. But on the other side, you know, I think when men become more in touch with their emotions or more in touch with the deeper issues they have inside, It just makes them a better person, because if we try to hide and cover it up too much, it leads to addiction. You know, it can lead to a lot of different problems.
Yeah.
And
sure.
You know, it's great to have some men come together and talk about this stuff. And, you know, we're not alone, because, you know, the one thing that always happens is a lot of times as men especially, I'm sure it happens with women too, but I can say as men especially, we can feel so alone in our problems, because it's like, well, I don't want to open up to anybody else because nobody else has problems that I do, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can't get this right or that right. And then you get to talking to four or five other people, and you're like, oh, you think you're screwed up too? So am I. And, okay, we're not so bad after all. you know what I mean? And sometimes it's good to be in community.
That's it exactly. We're all in this together. We're all on the same team. We all have that same common goal of really having our lives work for us as much as possible. You know, as I said before, nobody rides for free. nobody is separate. We're not individuals. We're the collective. We are one whole unified field that what affects us affects everyone. Think of it as a calm pond of water, and you drop your pebble in and those ripples go out, and then somebody on the other side drops their pebble in and the ripples go out, and other pebbles, and all those waves interact, intersect, overlap, flow through, past, and with each other. And it's all an interaction, and it's, you know, the important thing is being in a spiritual path or having a spiritual interest. Sometimes people get caught up in the spiritual, what I call spiritual competitiveness. You know, well, this guy went to 5 seminars, and oh, he had, you know, this many awakenings or activations or initiations, and well, you know, if you got that, why didn't I get that? And it's not about competitiveness; it's about wholeness, oneness, and who you truly are as your sovereign divine being, and freeing ourselves from. A wonderful book, What People Think About Me Is None of My Business. And that's it.
Yeah, I like that.
Living your path. You know, I mean, I'm a musician, and, you know, a lot of other musicians, you know, don't understand, you know, they think of New Age music, you know, that misconception of it's lame, it's elevator music. Well, I come at it from, you know, I started piano at 5. I'm 61. I've got 56 years of music study. I majored in classical, organ, symphonies, you know, writing, theory, analysis, composition, harmony, piano performance, accompanying opera singers, playing in churches and cathedrals, and playing in Vegas. And, you know, the music I create is very symphonic and orchestral. It's you know, anywhere from 30 to 50 minutes, 60 minutes long, Radiant Heart, which we'll play a little clip of, you know, that's a 60-minute long piece, uninterrupted 60 minutes, and it evolves and flows just, you know, like a life story, a life sharing. So being who
we
are.
You know, as we lead into that, I'd like to, because we're going to go on break at 8:30 just to do an announcement, but...
Sure.
As we lead into that, why don't you go ahead and describe, did you want to do Heart? Is that the sound piece we should play?
Sure. Radiant Heart is a wonderful piece to play a little three-ish minute excerpt of. And let's just use this as a resource for everybody, you know, listening to the program and who will also listen to the replay. Set an intention for something you would like to have happen right now, right in this moment, immediate. It works immediately. You set your intention. Intention equals immediate action, because the moment you set an intention, that ripple of energy goes out to the universe. Einstein said it absolutely the best. He said, everything is energy. Match the frequency of what you want, and you cannot help but get that.
That's great. So I'm going to go ahead and play that piece. And
yes.
Before I do that, I'm actually going to go ahead and set my intention first. So hold on for 1 minute while I do that. And I ask everybody that's listening, go ahead and set an intention also. All right, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and play that piece.
Wonderful.
Wow, that was amazing. So, you know, just let that kind of sit for a minute, but why don't you go ahead and just kind of tell us, you know, how did that come to you and how did you create it? I mean, do angels channel this through you? I mean, how does this work as far as your creative process?
That's a good question. And it all starts with an intentionality to create a piece of music. And what I ask for is what will serve people for their highest purpose. Music is a universal language, and as the vibration of the music is still resonating in your field, and as I'm speaking, allow yourself to hold that vision of your intentionality and release any negativity that may come up, any blocks, any perceived blocks that you're less than, unable to, not worthy of. Release that with the power of truth and love and transmute that. Just release it. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't need to be in your field. You're a divine, whole, sovereign being. So I set the intention to have the music come through. It's not a real, what I would say, a conscious process of creating the music. I hear the music. And it comes to me literally in one packet, as it were. And then I go in the studio and just start to assemble the tracks from this packet that comes through. Bach, you know, when I was in classical music, I played lots of Bach. I was a classical organ major. I played beautiful pipe organs around cathedrals, and he would write the music, would come to him in his mind as he was on the train, you know, from one end of Germany to the other. Then he'd go into a little anteroom at the train station at his destination and sit down for a couple or 3 hours with pen and paper and write it out from memory. It just, you know, it's like this download that it just comes in and there it is, and then you just unfold it. So for me, that's how that process works. It's literally, when I'm working on it, you know, I've kind of learned to not bring people and say, hey, you want to hear what I'm working on? Because, you know, in my mind, I'm hearing the strings, the cello, the choirs, the flute, the piano, the grand piano, the bass, all the orchestrations. And other people come in and all they're hearing is like the piano part with the cello line. And they go, well, that's nice, but are you going to orchestrate it? And it's like, oh, that's right, you're not hearing it. So, come back in another couple of months and then you can hear the whole thing. So it's like painting a house. It's like you already know that the shutters are going to be white and the trim's going to be green and the base of the house is going to be, you know, a fern color and the foundation's going to be brown and da-da-da-da-da. So when you go in there and you get your first brush stroke on the house, you know, neighbor walks by and you go, oh, I'm painting my house. Isn't it looking good? And they go, you know, you got a ways to go. So I was like, well, you know, come back when it's, you know, when the rest of the paint's on it, as it were. I don't know if that explains it real well. But that's, Eric Clapton said, he's a brilliant soloist, and his guitar leads are phenomenal. And he says, you know, the whole solo is contained in the first note. And that's it. It's like the hologram. It's just like, you know, the whole piece of it, the whole image is there in that one little corner, and then it's a matter of letting it unfold.
Mm. Now, when you do music for Ken Jay and for Rocco, how does that come together? Do you just allow the music to come through and it just fits with the work that's going on in that space?
Absolutely. You know, all my background was, you know, playing sheet music. a piece of Bach that was written, you know, around 1700. He was 1685 to 1750, so, you know, the early 1700s. So it's a 300-year-old piece of music that everybody's played the same way, and you're expected to play it and express it a certain way. And I was always into improvisation. And after I got out of the classical thing and then I did the Vegas scene, well, you've got to stick to the charts, but you get to solo a little bit. Well, after I got out of that, it's like I just totally started to play music. Had, you know, some neighbors that would come over to my house, and if they had a really rough day, they'd say, "Hey, Jimmy, would you play for me, man? I had a really bad day," you know. And I'd sit them on the sofa, and I would just sit down and improvise. You feel the energy, and you know it's no different than if you're playing in a restaurant or a nightclub. Is it a dance crowd? Is it a conversation crowd? Is it a romantic crowd? Is it a dinner crowd? And you create music or you play music that's appropriate for your audience. So this is just an extension of that. And if you get an opportunity to go to my website, Jim Oliver Music, you'll see some pictures of the studio, and I refer to it as, you know, the 21st century organ. I've got about 15 keyboards horseshoed around me, which, you know, might sound excessive, but it really isn't, because each one is set up with its own personality. One's got strings, and one's got the cello, and one's got the choir, and one's got grand piano, another one's got electric piano, one's got, you know, cosmic sweepy sounds, one is a wonderful old analog. I've got a bunch of old Moog synthesizers that I've kept over the years, and they have a wonderful personality. So just like playing a pipe organ, you know, multiple layers, multiple keyboards, multiple layers. And so they just let the music unfold. You know, that's it. Just let it unfold spontaneously.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a keyboard set up as advanced as that since probably watching the early 70s and seeing the keyboard set up for Rush.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Rick Wakeman and Keith Emerson and, you know, the early keyboard guys. They're wonderful, you know. They're the resources. It's like an artist's palette, you know. Every opportunity to mix and blend colors. It's like a chef in the kitchen. It's the banquet of life, you know. We're all part of that banquet of life, and there are flavorings, there's seasonings, there's textures, and it's just like a chef goes into the kitchen and goes, "Well, okay, well, let's cook something up. Well, what do we got in the fridge? Well, okay, we got strings, we got cellos, we got choir, we got piano," and, you know, and it's like set your intention and just get out of the way and let it flow.
Before we go to a commercial break, Mike, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, you know what? You want to do your commercial break first? Because my question's probably going to take a while.
Oh, not a problem at all. I just want to let everybody know you're listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour. We're on once a month on Spiritual Connections Radio. We run from 8 to 9. Generally, we try to fall into the third Thursday of every month, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And, you know, you can always check our website, spiritualconnectionsradio.com. to see when exactly the shows are. And as Jim mentioned, his website is www.jimolivermusic.com. So make sure to check out his work. And with that, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, Jim, it's really a pleasure to, again, to meet and talk with you tonight. And I do have a couple questions because I do meditation music on a part-time basis. I do IT full-time. But I've been kind of doing it publicly for the past 7 years with my own electric keyboard. Unfortunately, I only have one that I can use at a time, so I'm limited by two hands and whatever instruments. But I still really enjoy doing it, and I also use some Tibetan singing bowls, and
great.
I also have a musical tank drum and different
great.
Things like that.
Yeah.
In my situation, mostly everything I do is improv. Everything I do is what comes to me energetically when I'm playing in a room for a group or for individuals. I wasn't classically trained, so I can't sit down and play Billy Joel or anything like that. But my tool is more just for healing and vibrational raising and so forth. And so I guess one of the first questions I have for you is, I just wanted to compare notes. When you're doing an improvisational piece, and let's say you're doing it for a meditation room where you're trying to bring up the vibrations or anything like that, do you happen to feel that your hands just kind of glide onto where it needs to be, and you go into the higher frequency instruments gradually as you feel the energy of the people in the room raise? And one other question to have beyond that is, what happens to me is I feel the vibrations, because I act as a conduit to bring the energy through from spirit, so mm-hmm. it comes through me and then it comes through the music. Mm-hmm. But I get sensations that are so powerful that at a certain point in the meditations, I'll get into the strings. You know, the strings on a keyboard is just so high vibrational.
Love them.
And when I get to that point towards the end, my body's vibrating so high that I almost get like this, I like to call it a cosmic wind that goes through my ears where I can't even hear 100% what I'm playing. It's like static.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
my body is just like amazingly lit up. And I was just wondering, like, if you have any kind of experiences like that, or how that happens for you improvisationally, from an improv standpoint, when your focus is to do vibrational raising so that people, like the way I like to explain it to people, so they can access their higher self, because you come to the point where their mind is just totally cleared, and then boom, they're in communication with their higher self, and they can have that higher frequency conversation that you couldn't have, you know, just normally.
Mm-hmm. Excellent question, and my experience is very much like yours. When I play for a group, whether it's for a few people here in the studio or for, you know, hundreds of people at a Brazzo event, or Kenji, we had about 45 people at a 6-day, I invite people to give full permission to themselves, because it's all about them. It's not about me playing music, quote unquote. I'm really totally transparent to the process, just as you've expressed. The music flows through. You feel the resonance. Are you playing in the middle range? And how is that? It's an interaction. It's the same as if you go to a party and everybody's laughing and, you know, bubbly and happy. Well, your energy comes up. And if you go in there and somebody's having a bad day and the whole vibe is really low, it pulls the energy down. So you can feel that. We're all extremely sensitive. You know, like massage therapists, they feel that energy through their hands. And if you just, you know, put your hands an inch or so apart and, you know, move them from like 2 or 3 inches apart to 1 inch apart to where they're not quite touching, you can feel that energy that radiates off your hands. And that field extends out. And as you become more attuned to that and more sensitive to it, or more able to, my hands move in response to that. And there are musical techniques, as you, I'm sure, explore that, you know, arpeggios, things that, you know,
helps
move energy. It helps to,
oh yeah,
or more staccato, where you're playing ta 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 ta, helps to break up. You know, the music directly correlates to energy. It's like a soundtrack in a movie. It's the emotion to the movie. Well, music, you play a tone. That vibration, that wave is moving through the air and resonating physiologically with your body. Your mind is interpreting that as to, oh, I feel that in my chest, I feel that in my knees, I feel that in my toes. Your spirit is experiencing, you know, there's harmonic overtones. So if you play the note middle C, you know, pluck that on a guitar string, well, that string subdivides itself in half. So the first octave is the first harmonic overtone. Then that partial subdivides itself, and that's the fifth. And then the next one is the fourth, and then the major third, minor third. And there's, you know, a dozen harmonic overtones from one played pitch. And light, visible light spectrum is 35 octaves above the highest frequency we can hear. You know, most people 15 to 16,000, but basically 20 to 20,000 cycles a second is what we can hear. Visible light is 35 octaves above that. It's in the 400 to 800 trillion cycles a second range. So it's not uncommon if you play, you know, the note C on a keyboard, well, the mathematical octaves of that bring you up to the color red. So it's not uncommon for people to, you know, if you're playing the note C, people say, oh, I perceive the color red. Well, that's because they're harmonically related.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's fascinating. And, you know, the other thing that I do also is, you know, like I use F for the heart chakra. So when I play my singing bowl, which is tuned to F, which I begin every meditation with, you know, it's there to open up the heart. And, you know, usually towards the end of my sessions, whether it's group or individual, I'll do a lot of piano at the end to try to get the person grounded. Because, you know, usually when people leave these things, they have to go drive and be part of society again. It's like, okay, well, you know, let me kind of let them off a little easier here and get some piano here and get them grounded and get their blood flowing. And I'll use a lot of C because that's, you know, the root chakra. But, you know, the typical melodies I play, at least especially during the end, tend to be a lot more bass on the piano, and it's a lot more simplified melodies that it'll start slow and get a little more rapid. So that can actually just kind of fire up their cells and everything in their body to move around, you know, because I'm sure you've experienced this too, but when you're playing for a good, you know, 2 hours at a time or all day doing sessions or whatever, you can't move. Your body is like all light. And this is what happened to me at New York City the other day, because we did a four-hour class, which most of the time I was playing, and then did another class afterwards. And then the crazy energy of New York City, I got home and it was just like, you know, it's like, is my feet touching the ground? So even us as doing healers in this kind of work, we have to ground ourselves, you know? And so I try to be very conscious of everybody else in the room that once they've gone through that amazing transformation and you're using these high vibrational, you know, bells and strings and you know, just all the different instruments that you have to offer, that you kind of end it so it's like, hey, you're not still floating out of space when you need to go downstairs and get in your car. So it's
exactly.
But you know, for me, it's spirit is directing because again, since without me being classical trained and I don't write the music, I can read very little because I, you know, learned when I was in the school system and everything. But for me, it is all colors that I'm seeing when I play. It is all sound and it's all vibration. And you know, it's amazing that you can play such a high frequency, and it just takes one more note, and you feel like you'll explode glass, or everybody in the room's just going to blow up. And spirit will tell me, nope, don't go any higher; they can't handle it. You know. So you know, have you had those experiences? You're like, oh man, I want to go all the way, but you just feel the room can't handle it.
You're totally tuned in, and part of this is, you know, asking permission of other people's higher self. You know, sometimes, you know, even if you're having a conflict with another person and on a, you know, in a 3D level, they're not approachable. You can't talk to them about it, but you can talk to their higher self. So, you know, you ask permission to their higher self and then explain how you feel about things. And it's amazing how many things shift with just asking permission and connecting with people's higher self. So that's part of it. When you have a group, yes, you establish the, you know, the protocol, your protected space, and you ask everybody's permission. And when you're right, when you feel that the energy has gone to the point to where, you know, you're there, and then things kind of level out. And absolutely, as you complete, you want to have grounding. And you'll notice in my music, it's very difficult over the telephone, over a phone webinar, because you can't get the bass. But if you go to my website, go to my website and listen to the samples on there, you'll hear lots of low bass. Low bass is a carrier wave. That's how they communicate with submarines under the polar ice cap. They transmit an ELF 1 to 2 cycle per second below our audible range. 1 to 2 cycle a second ELF, extremely low frequency carrier wave, and simultaneously broadcast the high frequency, and it piggybacks along that bass wave. You had an oscilloscope and played a bass note, you know, 30, 40, 50 cycles a second, you'd see this big long S laying on its side. And if you then simultaneously play a high frequency sound, it actually piggybacks along that bass wave. So that's, you know, for me, the gift and the beauty of doing keyboards is in the organ background as I play the bass with my feet, you know, because playing classical organ, you're using both feet to play melodies there. Synthesizers, the early days, the early Moogs, you know, analog, you can control the waveform, which, you know, select sine wave, which is a flute side, square wave, which is a woodwind, sawtooth is brass square, and sawtooth is string. You can do muscle testing. I worked with a kinesiologist for 15 years, did 1,000 sessions, one-on-one muscle testing. Whatever was weak, there's a frequency and a waveform that, when played, will correct that imbalance. And then I compose a piece of music based on that information. And that's really what has been part of my evolution to, you know, when I do the improvisation. All of that's in the data bank, as it were, but the gym sitting at the keyboard is totally transparent. The music it flows, and, you know, my 55 years of playing music, you know, that's where your fingers get to kind of go where your imagination goes, as it were. So it's just tuning in. And then the final thing is integration. And we'll close the program tonight with the last clip, was called The Light of Integration, which is a piece that I created specifically for that, because you're right, people go to these groups, they get all charged up, and then they have to go back and interface with their daily life, and they're just kind of feeling like a duck out of water, as it was. So that's why I created, you know, The Light of Integration, is to help maintain that high frequency, that into your daily life, and to be able to interface and interact with people in a, hey, how you doing, kind of a thing. Not like, well, you know, I'm better than you or you're better than me. It's like, no, we're just, you know, that wonderful fire sign theater thing. We're all bozos on this bus. We're all trying to find our way, you know. We're all trying to find our way.
And I love your description, especially using the submarine, because, you know, that's something that I find when I get to the height of the meditations that I play for. And a lot of times I play with a friend of mine that does the channeling, and sometimes it's just me playing, you know, myself for a group. But when I get to the very height of the vibration, where I get those strings very, very high, I often will be playing the very highest notes that my keyboard can play and the very lowest notes that they can play, where I have the very, very low bass and the very, very high notes playing together. When it gets to that, what I'd like to call the turning point of the meditation, where it's like, I call it the point of no return. And because it's like you're at such the highest frequency, the bass comes in and you're just totally balanced, you're in bliss. And, you know, the entire process for me when I play for meditations like that is I feel like I'm conducting an airplane flight, because, you know, it's just like how the airplane has to gradually take off, and then you go up into the air and you level out for a while, and that's when I might be playing, you know, the meat of the music and doing some semi-high frequency stuff. But then towards the end of the flight, you know, that's when everybody in the last half hour gets all excited and starts rattling their bags and they're ready to land, you know. And it's like when I touch down at the end of the piece, that's where I'm on the piano. I'm like, okay, we're on the ground, we're in Hawaii or wherever you're going to, and we're excited, and this is the piano, like, bringing you back, putting your feet in the ground. You know, and I always have that comparison, you know, when I play. If I have just one other quick question or comment, please.
Sure.
So here's one other aspect of what I do, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, is in regards to working with the higher self. I like to play music and send out healing to people remotely, and I do it under two factors. Sometimes I have people come to me and say, hey, you know, one of my pets is very sick tonight, you know, can you do your thing with the music and send out prayers and great thoughts to me and play. In some cases, I will record a whole session for somebody remotely and then send them, you know, the copy on the disc or whatever. Again, that not only do I get permission from their higher self, but I get permission from them directly. But there's other cases when there's friends that are close to me, and maybe they're not too open to the music and healing idea, that I will sit down at the piano and send the healing to them, again, confirming with their higher self, even if they don't know that I'm doing it, whether it's okay. And, you know, normally it is, and I just do that. And then there's one case beyond that where when I feel that the person is very, very closed off to any kind of healing, that my guidance spiritually says, go ahead and play as if you are sending it to them. It mm-hmm. won't go directly, but we kind of put it in like this energetic holding area. And as mm-hmm. they start to open up and you know, maybe they feel that they need some help, it's almost like that music is an energetic holding area and can go down to them. And then maybe eventually I hear from them in person. And so, you know, it's all thought. You know, thoughts are all connected. And, but I just wondered if you had that kind of like multi-step process yourself, like if you ever sat down and you're thinking, you know, I'm going to send music to this person just through the airways, whether they know it or not, you know.
Well, you know, it's, you know, back to Einstein's statement that everything is energy. And that's what he said. Everything is energy. That's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is philosophy. This is not philosophy. This is physics. So when that energetic form of an offering, it's like sending an invitation in the mail. I'm having a Thanksgiving party, and I'd like to invite you. Well, some people will open the mail, some people won't open the mail, some people will be able to attend, some people won't be able to attend, but the invitation is there, that welcoming energetic form is there. And with you playing that music with the hopefulness and that offering of its potential and possibility, that at whatever point someone may or may not, allowing for everything, may or may not be receptive to that and being willing to totally release it, unconditional love, no attachment to the outcome, then at some point that person may or may not tune into it, experience the vibration of the music that you've offered, and choose to resonate with it or not resonate with it. So, you know, that's why some people like the Beatles and some people like Miles Davis and some people like, you know,
yeah.
You know, it's like, that's why some days you get up in the morning and, you know, you put on blue jeans and a red shirt and you have oatmeal, and another day you'll have eggs, and the next day you'll have a fruit salad, and someday it's just, you're already attuned to what will serve you for your highest purpose, and it's following intuition, trusting that intuition. And how many times do you go, you know, I had a feeling that that was going to happen like that, and I didn't listen to my intuition. And it's like, it's right there. And, you know, nobody's got a crystal ball. We can't second-guess ourselves all the time, but we can support ourselves and give ourselves credit that we're a lot more tuned in than you might think. And now I'll share one quick little story. You know, how many times have you read in the paper of, you know, someone will wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, my God, so-and-so just had a car accident, or, oh, my God, you know, somebody's baby was just born, or, oh, wow, you know, I haven't thought about, you know, Mary for such a long time. Next thing you know, the phone rings. You know, that
yep.
wavelength is already there. An experience that I could share, you know, when my daughter was, 8 or 9 months old, you know, we all stayed very close to home. We didn't, go out shopping or, you know, we stayed very close with the kids. And, you know, the first time that my wife went off shopping, she was, you know, 20 miles away at the mall in town, and she called me up and said, did the baby wake up? And I said, I don't think so. Let me go. I said, why do you say that? She says, well, my milk just let down. And for those that have had kids or whatever, it's, you know, the milk lets down, and what what triggers that is the baby crying. It's a sonic trigger. The baby cries, the mother's
yep.
milk lets down, and they get fed. Well, I went downstairs, I put my ear to the door, and sure enough, I hear this, you know, my daughter,
yep.
you know, starting to wake up from her nap. So there you
yep.
go. My wife was 30 miles away, and she calls and says, my milk just let down, is the baby awake? And I,
wow.
and there you go. So extend that
wow,
however
amazing.
You can relate to it. It's you know, the connection is there, the bond, we are all one. We're all resonating together in the symphony of life, as I like to call it. We're the world orchestra. Our unique combination supports and nurtures everybody, and it radiates outward. So I do these live streaming music meditations. And if you know anybody that's listening would like to, on the website, right on the home page, on the right-hand side, well, there's a little video you can view. It's a video invitation. I play live from the studio. I've got four cameras, high-definition video, you know, hi-fi audio. You log on from your computer, and I play for about 45 or 50 minutes and connect with people from all over the world, live, spontaneous improvisation. The person sitting next to you at this could be in Japan or Germany or Hawaii or L.A. or New York City or Mexico, Canada, Australia. We've got people from all over the world. And that connection, everybody's come together with a common purpose of friendship, of nurturing and being nurtured, and having that resonant, harmonic, resonant connection with people from all over the world. And it's absolutely, you can feel it. And when you finish playing and you sit quietly, the silence afterwards is so important. You feel the cells of your body dancing and vibrating and communicating and, you know, light information. You know, that's music is light codes, just in a, you know, at a different vibrational level. That's all it is. Just it's these light codes that come through. It's information that you then process and integrate.
Hey, go ahead and give out your website to everybody.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's jimolivermusic.com.
Excellent. And we're going to head into wrapping up the show and playing that that late song and everything that we're going to want you to tell you, you know, have you talk about a little bit to lay the foundation for it.
Sure.
But before you do that, we always like to ask our guests the same question, and that is, with all the lifetime of experience you've had on your spiritual journey, what is the biggest lesson you've learned?
Gratitude. Gratitude for the opportunity to play music. Gratitude for the life experiences that have paved the way for who I am at this point in time. And that includes the hard stuff as well as the fun stuff, because that's all part of it. You know, it'd be nice if you say, well, I never had anything lousy happen to me. It's like, well, cool. You know, we've all been through some really hard things, you know, whether it's childhood or relationships or financial or, you know, parents. You know, everybody's got their stuff to work with. But the bottom line is the deep, deep gratitude for being able to share an hour with you guys, you know, with Mike
Thank
and
you.
Mark and all the people listening. How beautiful is that? That we've, you know, that's the biggest honor, is that people have taken an hour out of their day to share this experience. And that is, I'm in deep, deep gratitude to have been invited to be on your program and to share with the people that are listening, and hope that they'll then, you know, share with their friends and family, and keep that dialogue moving. Everything is possible. Everything is possible. The stuff that you think is totally hopeless, something is possible, and give it some love and light energy. Give it a quantum wave, as Kenji would share, holding that matrix of the perfect resolution, solution, completion, understanding, acceptance, and it's amazing what can happen.
Wow, thank you. Mike, do you have any questions for closing before we go into him talking about the music?
I'd like to follow up with you again sometime, Jim. Maybe I'll just shoot you an email with my website and information. Maybe just have a little email chat sometime. Okay.
Perfect. I'd like that. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, it was really a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for being on the show, Jim. And in closing, if you we're going to play your song, which I call Light, to close out the show. So can you lay the groundwork for this? What's the intention? You know, how did this come to you? What's the purpose? And
this is called The Light of Integration, and it's just that, to maintain that place of enlightenment, illumination, elevation. One of my early teachers said we call this enlightenment, not enheaviment. So, you know, just keeping it light and integrated so that everything that you're experiencing, you can integrate into your daily life and be open for new experiences, and to have the balance that if something comes in that's a little upsetting, that you can balance and flow with that and maintain your sovereignty through that. So we can close with The Light of Integration.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks for being on, Jim, and always great to have you on, Mike, and we'll do the closing before we put the song on. Just let everybody know you're listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour on Spiritual Connections Radio.